Okay, continue with the food and
dinner. As the time went on, we...
Can I ask you a question? Would you want to give me the name of the first Fursh here?
Yeah, his name was Bill Fair.
Bill Fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
William Fair, you might call
him. Is he still alive?
He's still he's a minister in that church now.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. And one day, this was about a couple of weeks before the election was to take place.
What happened to him? Was he deposed or just?
No, his term had terminated.
Oh, okay. And so they were given for a certain number of years.
Yeah, and we could the church would either re-elect him or elect somebody else. Mm-hmm. And he was quite discouraged, which I didn't blame him for either. I would have been too if I would have been in his shoes. And then about 2 weeks before the election, one day when I was in prayer, it just seemed that the Lord was putting his hand on me and tell me that that I would be the one that he had chosen me for that office. And right away I says, no Lord, this can't be, because at that time we knew already what we were up against, because we were attending meetings. I was encouraging people to attend meetings and trying to push for Sunday school and so on, even as a member, as a layman in the church. And I knew already what we were up against, especially in that position, because people would already, call us fikirde, conference and so on, you know. And then the Lord put his hand on me and he says, he had chosen me for that. And I didn't tell my wife at that time. I said to my wife when I came home from work, I said, maybe we should withdraw from that church before the election. I didn't tell her what the reason was for it, because I knew that would be almost impossible for me to accept that and to do my responsibility to fulfill it. And then my wife said, well, we promised the Lord to stay there, to work there in that church. And finally, I said, the last evening, just an hour before the election, I said, Lord, if everybody knows already what we stand for, and that we are, as far as they were concerned, that we were federate. And I thought, well, there's no chance that they will elect me, because they know us, and this is the last thing they want, somebody that is a conferenza. And so I said, okay, Lord, prove to me this evening whether it's really a call from you or not. But if it's a call from you, then allow me to serve in that office. And it so happened that I was elected that evening.
When was that? What year?
That was in
January
69. Mm-hmm. And that's when the battle started. But it was a blessing, and when I look back now, I think I've never grown as much in my Christian life as I have those months. But then it was me just being a young Christian. I did all kinds of things, stupid things, you might say. And one thing was the Lord had given us a real desire for Bible study, for to study the Bible, and we saw the need for two things. That was for Bible study in that church, and Sunday school, because our children didn't get any Sunday school, and the church, the messages were all in High German, where none of our kids that grew up here could understand anything. We realized this. We thought, well, our only chance is to start a Sunday school and have Christian teachers in it, and give the children the Word of God that way.
So the idea of Sunday school you picked up from the UMC then?
Yeah, well, this had been right in the beginning when this church started. We had Sunday school here.
That was the first 2 years.
That was the first 2 years. We had a teacher here from Wineland. I don't know how we got the Christian teacher. They had saw that he was a Christian teacher.
What was his name?
Henry Beeb. Henry Beeb. And then as the time went on, our church, I guess maybe they realized that it was coming a little bit too close, they decided to not to have somebody else from another denomination, and to have our own Sunday school teacher.
So Weeb was there from 59 when it started?
No, Weeb was there. No, he was there before that. That was from, yeah, when the church started, yeah.
From right. When the old Colony church started.
Yeah, about that time.
When 59, he was there until
61, something like that. And then, and then what the first thing that we did, I did as a person, as a first push for Sunday school.
And then it had been stopped in the meantime.
Yeah, this had been stopped for several years already.
How come it was stopped?
Because they had no Sunday school teachers. Nobody would take the time, and nobody was interested enough to
do it. But Weebs had been coming in?
Yeah, they had been coming in, yeah.
But they quit then?
Or? They quit then. They had to quit because of his health, right?
Mm-hmm,
and then later they had offered themselves, but then our church turned them down. Because they didn't think it was wise to have somebody from another church, another denomination. Because it was a little bit too, coming a bit too close. And then we started to, I started to encourage the people to come to meetings. And it was interesting. The meetings, we had a lot of people, up to 50 people at the meetings, right from the beginning. I guess it was because they knew what we stood for. And they were fighting against us. But nevertheless, it encouraged people to come to the meetings.
What kind of meetings?
Brotherhood meetings.
Oh.
Monthly brotherhood meetings.
Okay.
Instead of board meetings or ministerial, we would have brotherhood meetings where all the members in the church, the men, would be invited to.
Okay.
And then at that time, I tried to encourage some individuals. One was my brother Pete, my brother Jake, and Ben Ans, Herman Clausen. John Clausen, not at that time. John Clausen, we tried to encourage them, but there was these four men that were on our side, except my parents. There was five, and we were six. There were six couples that were pushing ahead. It was only at that time, I found out later that only my brother Pete had been saved before, but he had backslidden. So he was the only one that had ever made a commitment to the Lord, ever accepted the Lord before that. The rest of them, they were open, they were going in the right direction, but still not saved. And so there were these four men that were on my side at the meeting. The rest of them were all against me. And then we started to push for Sunday school. And I asked if there would be some. The excuse why we didn't have Sunday school was, they said, we haven't got a teacher. But I said, then, we're having a big church like that, so somebody has to do it. And everybody said they couldn't do it. Well, then we suggested, why don't we, if none of us can do it, why don't we get together, those that would be interested, and get together once a week and simply study the Bible and train ourselves to become Sunday school teachers. And this was accepted by the church. We called it a teacher's meeting, teacher's Bible study, what did we call it? Something like that, where the Sunday school teachers would get together to learn.
There's something about singing in that word, in that phrase there.
Yeah, where we could get together. Meeting. Zingston. That's it. That's what we call it. And some of them opposed to that, but anyway, when we had the vote, there was nobody against it. About half of them were for it, and then I asked how many were against it and to explain why they were against it. So there was nobody against it. And then we decided to start it the following week with Mr. We wanted to have Mr. Weeb, who was our leading pastor at that time,
Jacob
Weeb, to have to take charge to lead,
us.
And he said no, he didn't know enough. He wouldn't even attend. He was against it right from the beginning. And Mr. Henry Peters, he accepted the position. He would lead. And so the following Saturday, we gathered there. We were about seven couples, I think. And it was really good, but we were about halfway, right in the middle of our study. The ministers, two pastors, and deacon, and somebody else came in and stopped us, made us stop.
Mr. Jake Weed said, came in, and he said, nothing of this, we're going to have nothing of this. This is where the...
No, that he told me over the phone.
Oh.
Yeah. He said, they came in and told us to stop right there, they got themselves one of the men that had enough courage to come in and just disturb us enough that we tried to talk to them and explain to them that this was a decision that the Brotherhood had agreed upon, and that's why we are doing that. Why don't you sit down and then let's just simply study the Bible, find out. None of us knew very much, but at least we started studying the book of Peter, First Peter. And then we just went home. And then we called another meeting, a Brotherhood meeting, for the following week, Saturday, to straighten this whole mess out. And then again, we had must have been 40 or 50 people at that meeting, at least 50. Mm-hmm. And what were
you going to say about that phone call?
Yeah, during this time I called, during the week, the same week I called Mr. B and asked him what he had against it. Well, he says, von dieser Bibelstern sagt er, du kämpft dich raus, du hörst dich von her.
And during this time, he had his daughter living in their house that was expecting from a French fellow.
She was living with the fellow together.
Yeah.
But anyway...
What did Henry Peters say?
Okay, I'm coming to that. Mr. Henry Peters, he was in charge the first Saturday. And then the following Saturday, we had another Brotherhood meeting. We called a Brotherhood meeting to straighten this out. And in the meantime, there was me and some of the brethren that were with us, that were pushing ahead with us. We talked to the individuals. I went to visit all the pastors and the deacon and also the Fuhrstelle's helper in the meantime and try to get them on my side. And some of them I could and some of them I couldn't. Some of them were against it. And then the following week we had another meeting. And then again it was the Brotherhood agreed to go on with this. But the same thing happened again. Then when I talked to Mr. Reeb, during that week, that's when he said this, what we were just saying. And then, again, the Brotherhood decided on this, to go ahead, to continue with it. And then Mr. Henry Peters, he got cold feet. This is one thing I would prefer you not share with me, because it has been hard feelings because of this already. This is all in the past now, as far as we are concerned. But he got cold feet, and instead of coming to the meeting, he went to the States at that time, and for that weekend. And somehow I had I suspected him to back out of the whole thing.
He was leading the meeting.
He was leading the Bible study, yeah. And then, before I knew that he would not be there, I somehow felt that he wouldn't be there, and I prepared for that evening. I studied the first book of Peter, first chapter in First Peter. And then that evening, sure enough, he didn't show up. So we were left by ourselves. But we had a real nice time for about 45 minutes. And then the deacons and the pastors again came in with their wives together. You should have heard them. They were just screaming, and just telling us to get out of there, and to quit. What are you here for? Buy the fair, you know. It was just unreal. And we tried to reason with them. We're just simply here reading the Bible. We all don't know, and none of us knows very much. But we're reading, trying to find out, God's will in our lives. And in the meantime, we had already started Sunday school. And it came, I still don't know how exactly it happened, but they elected me for a Sunday school teacher. I don't know why it was, but that was something that I just loved to do.
The Brotherhood elected you?
The Brotherhood asked me to teach Sunday school. We had, Van Ants was Sunday school teacher at that time, and Herman Klassen was the teacher, and I was the third one. And then we didn't have any Sunday school material, and so the Brotherhood decided to study the catechism. Well, okay, that was fine. One thing that was so real in my life was salvation. And I tried to explain that to the children. And they found out, through the children, the parents found out right away what happened. And then they started to visit, to attend the Sunday school classes to find out. And I didn't care. I appreciated it. But then they called meetings, private meetings during the week, you know, and found out, you know, what, and then decided to kick us out of there because they knew what was going on.
The other two were there at the same time as you were teaching?
Yeah, we had three classes at that time, yeah.
And you had one group?
I had one group, and the other two had each group. I had, I think I had from 7 to 12 or something like that. We had them split
middle,
up. And
middle
and
group?
Yeah. Sure. I had a group of maybe 25 or 30 children in there.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big group of Sunday school children. We must have had about 80 Sunday school
when
children.
When did you have that? During the Sunday morning?
The Sunday morning, during the service.
During
the time that the service was upstairs. And none of us could really sing. Herb McLaughlin, he was the one that would lead us in singing, but neither of us was good at singing. And then we were singing Evangelions later. And then they found out that the catechism, that was too clear, you know. They said, well, okay, we don't want you to teach the catechism anymore. Well, what should we teach then? Well, the New Testament. No, the Bible. Well, to me, that was the Old and New Testament. Okay, so I started not knowing very much of the Bible. I started with some of the stories that I had learned in school. One was Joseph's life, you know, and how the Lord had dealt with him, and the life of Moses and the children of Israel and so on. And then they told us, came and told us after Sunday school, they told us not to use the Old Testament. That was not for us anymore. Okay, what should we do then? Well, the New Testament. And the same thing happened. This went on about 2 months. And every Sunday, you know, they would get after
that.
So the
ministers were doing this?
Ministers and some of the...
And the
some of the
Peters had left on the holiday for a while.
Yeah, he went just for that one weekend.
Oh.
They were still attending, but he wouldn't take charge anymore. Yeah. And then, in the meantime, we had some brotherhood meetings, and you know, things just went rougher and rougher all the time. And another thing that I was working at is, we didn't get enough money to carry our expenses, even. The church had made up a rule that every member would give $10 a year. And that was that was all the money that was coming in. But I would say maybe about 20% of that came in. Okay, then the question came up at the Brotherhood, what are we going to do? How are we going to go about it? Well, they said, well, me at first, I had to go and tell the people that they had to give it. I thought, well, that's true. That's my responsibility. But in the meantime, before I did that, I found out that the Bible teaches different. That God loves a cheerful giver, you know. And then they tried to encourage the people that we should teach that, you know, that should be preached to the people, and I tried to teach the people from behind the pulpit, you know, what God expects of us. And that was turned down. And so, okay, where am I at?
You were having difficulty in teaching the Sunday school, and you were also having other difficulties in your duties as Bush there.
Yeah, and then they suggested that we should leave. In the meantime, we attended, once in a while, we attended Bible study in the EMMC church. They found out about that. And then we said, okay.
You had relatives in the EMMC.
Yeah, we had relatives, and we were almost starving to death, you know, for fellowship. They found out about that, and they told us not to go there anymore. We said, okay, we won't go there as long as we can have Bible study in our church. And we want to have a Bible study and have something in our church where we can get it in our own group, then we will promise not to go there anymore. And then we struggled along for a little while with the Bible study, but they just, every time they came in there and just stopped us. And then they suggested that we should leave. And I said, the Lord has put us here, and that's where we want to serve as long as we can. And we had the one brotherhood meeting, and then at that time I knew already what was going to happen. They had some private meetings during the week, and they decided that they would just kick us out of there. And Then.
So you were then dismissed.
Yeah, I was asked to quit. First, they were smoking every meeting. They would just smoke. Everything was just blue in there, you know, and that was against my. Because I had already got victory over smoking, and to me it seemed like such a filth, you know, in church, smoking like that. And let me try to tell them that let's quit smoking and give that money to the church. It would be so much better. And that backfired on us. And different things like that. And also, we never opened the meeting with a scripture reading or prayer or song or anything. It was always nothing but a fight and an argument in there. So I suggested to the pastor that they should read a scripture and pray, or at least sing a song or something like that. And they rejected that. Finally, I got up enough courage to do that myself. I had my Bible along and said, well, before we start, well, I would like us to read a few verses, and I would like to ask the minister to pray before we started. And he rejected. I read the verses, but he rejected. He didn't pray. So we went on with the meeting. And then they asked us to leave. I said, no, I said, we wouldn't leave unless they would vote and give us a reason why, give us a biblical reason, and then vote us out, because we have been elected by the Brotherhood, and we also had to be dismissed by the Brotherhood. And at that time, Ben Entz, I still don't know what he found. Anyway, he came from the back with his testament, and came to Mr. Weeb, the leading minister, and asked Mr. Weeb what that particular verse meant in the Bible. And then he got up and he says, we have the Bible, but nuni ke brocht hier and we brochen in Yorne. And born man mit seine Anhänger, so seine Worte verloten, wurde hier rückkehrt. Wir haben das holen das Zaus, wir haben nur gehört haben, aura, hier gehen hier rück. That's all this. And then I said, is this what the Brotherhood wishes? And then everybody says, yeah, that's what we want you to do. I said, okay. I said, I realize you don't know what you're doing, but I said, I'd like to have a few minutes to share my testimony of what the Lord has done in our life. And they gave us that much time, and everybody was just silent in the whole meeting there. And I gave my whole experience. And we told them, me, but at that time there were six couples already that was on our side. And we told them that we wouldn't ever hold anything against them, and we knew that they didn't know what they were doing, because we had been in the same darkness, and we would pray for them, and we wanted them to know that we were that we would leave, and we had, with no hard feelings, and we would continue to pray for them. And with that we left the church.
When was that, when you left?
This was in 1961. 8 months. Exactly 8 months.
You say 1961?
By 1978. 1968.
Okay.
Okay, I get my years. 1969. 1969? 1968, they had the accident. 1969. 10 years ago now.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
What?